Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, your home for free speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a donation. Also go to nationalbugle.com, download the kosher certified app, live a non-kosher certified lifestyle. It's Monday. It's the start of the week. How do we start the week here? Well, we check in with Mark Collett across the pond. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm very, very good, thank you. Some really interesting developments happening over the last week in America. And I think there'll be quite a bit of spillover from that here to the UK as well. It seems as if race is the driving force in politics today. And this could be a good thing for us because it's going to get people talking about race, but the people who are at the moment spearheading the conversation, they certainly don't want it to be a good thing for us. They have a plan, and that plan is white genocide. And the first stages of that plan are, of course, to make us hate ourselves and to deracinate white people. And I think we're quite a way down the road there now. This isn't something new, is it? This is a sustained attack that's been going on for some time. But since we've seen Trump out of office, since we've seen Biden as president, things seem to have sped up dramatically, don't they? We seem to have gone from sort of 30 or 40 miles an hour to 400 miles an hour overnight. And this is also mirrored with Biden's immigration system. So I'm really looking forward to what we've got to talk about today.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine, actually, from Japan, who she's more or less a normie. What's a Japanese normie? That's hard to say. But was just saying, what the heck's going on in America? She couldn't make heads or tails of what's going on in America. And you know, we were talking about all of the anti-white stuff that was going on. And my explanation was, okay, you have a Jewish-dominated ruling class, and for decades, they had been on this slow, steady project of turning white people into a minority in their own country. Why? Because white people, the only possible challenge to Jewish rule, the most likely possible challenge to Jewish domination of the society, would come from an ethnic solidarity among white people. But if you can reduce the numbers of white people, turn them into a minority, B, if you can destroy their possibility of ethnic solidarity by demoralizing them, you can prevent them from ever becoming that challenge to Jewish power. And that project was going along just fine, and the frog wasn't, you know, the frog wasn't noticing that the pot was getting hotter. And then suddenly Donald Trump came along and threw kind of a monkey wrench into it by going on this, you know, he wasn't talking about Jewish power, but he was talking about one of the elements, the important elements of this strategy, which is the massive immigration. And so the way the Jewish power responded to it was just pulling out all the stops on white people. And what you're seeing now, you know, first they did the what I call the Jew d'etat against him, and now you've got this situation where they're trying to throw open the border with absolutely no restraints, without even the pretense of border security. It's like, oh, this is who we are. This is, you know, our values as a people. And then the very over the top attacks on white people, you know, where you're getting white supremacy is the biggest threat to the country, and the new Pentagon chief is basically just stopping all you know, military considerations other than rooting out the army of white supremacists, and you're getting, you know, this, they're throwing into this stimulus package all sorts of things like farmers getting their debt forgiven as long as they're not white, black people getting free farms, and now you've got the mayor of Oakland overseeing this project for free money, universal basic income for non-whites, and it's just getting so over the top. That's how I explained it. So is that how you see it, and does that make sense, and what do we do about it?
Well, first, I'm not dodging your question, but first I want to say something slightly different to what you're saying here. You said something about these checks to farmers. Now, if 10, 20 years, and I've been doing this for 2 decades now, if 20 years ago, when I got involved in nationalist politics, or I got involved in the fight for white well-being, or the fight against white genocide, whatever you want to call it, when I got involved all those years ago, if I'd have tried to sell to people that eventually we would be in a state where governments would say, okay, the stimulus checks, there's financial help packages, but they will only be available to ethnic minorities, and white people will be totally denied access to this money, I think people would have not only laughed at me, but I think I might have even been arrested here in the UK for race-related speech incidents, for trying to stir up hatred, for fear-mongering. And I would have definitely been attacked by the press and the media. There would have been an absolutely massive, massive attack on myself for doing this. And looking back at this, hey, 20 years or a decade or 2 decades is not a long time. 20 years or between 10 and 20 years in terms of human history or world history is nothing. Yet, here we are, 10, 20 years down the line, and something which would have been viewed as absolute parody, something that would have been viewed as ridiculous to talk about, and people have said, oh, don't be ridiculous, they're not going to do that, you know, they're not actually going to turn us into second-class citizens. Because at the time, if you said something like, oh, we're being turned into second-class citizens, people generally said that, but they didn't really mean it. They would say it as sort of a hyperbole. So you'd be in a situation where they would put a quota in a government position and say, look, we want 10% of the people working here to be from a black or ethnic minority background. And the Daily Mail would run an article saying so many white people will not be allowed to take these roles because they want to fill this quota. And people would say, oh, we're being turned into second class citizens. But I'm not sure whether they actually believed it or not. But here is the most blatant example of this, and this has come up upon us very, very quickly. And something like this would have been completely unthinkable under the Trump administration, which tells you in terms of us progressing from this being utter parody to being actual reality, very, very short space of time, but even shorter space, the blink of an eye, from when something like this would have actually been unthinkable. Because although the president of the United States, as in Donald Trump when he was president, wasn't somebody you would have said was pro-white, you wouldn't have said Trump was absolutely pro-white, or that he was a white nationalist, or that he was somebody...
He could only bring himself to mention white people maybe once or twice during his entire administration.
Yeah, he wasn't, but he wasn't anti-white. And that's, in today's world, is a big win for us. And it right. tells you, again, it tells you how fast things have progressed down this road to say, right, we're not even looking for a pro-white president anymore. We're simply looking for a president who isn't anti-white. That's a big thing. And Trump, although he wasn't pro-white, he wasn't anti-white. But you can see with Biden, Biden is absolutely anti-white. That's even if Biden is the one doing this. And I'm not trying to get Biden off the hook. I'm not trying to say that, oh, well, actually, Biden might be, you know, a sound guy and he's being manipulated. Biden is probably largely mentally incompetent. Right. And obviously all this is being done by the people who surround him. Now, I don't know exactly who they are. Kamala Harris will be one. I'm sure Pelosi has some say in what he's doing. She has been obviously a major power broker for some time. And what you're seeing here is this vicious, vicious anti-white agenda, which is literally turning white people into second-class citizens, or worse, an actual hated minority. Now, obviously, with the farm issue is one that could be argued the stimulus checks are definitely needed, but they should have been given out fairly. However, what we're seeing in Oakland is completely different. Here we're just seeing free money for blacks because they're black. And that is just mad. But, and I talk about this quite a lot in the UK, we have a system in the UK which is largely based on precedent. And the problem you've got here is that if you set this as a precedent, if you say to people, this is now a precedent in the United States, the precedent has been set, black people are to be given these massive stimulus checks, then unfortunately you're going to be in a position where it won't just be Oakland. Other cities will be doing this. And eventually, I believe that this will sweep across the whole of the United States. I believe this will sweep across the whole of the United States. Eventually, you are going to get into a position where every city does this, because the problem is once one's done it, the precedent has been set, but then you start to have people saying, well, why isn't my city doing it? Well, if they're doing it, why isn't my city doing it? Is it because my city officials are racist? Are the city officials racist? Why aren't they doing what Oakland's done? Oakland's done this for the black people. Why doesn't my city do it? But the problem with giving people free money is kind of like putting a band-aid on a gaping wound. It doesn't actually solve the problem. I always remember when I was a child, there was an advert that ran regularly on TV, and it was one of these adverts that was for an overseas charity. It was for raising money for Africa. And the advert went something like this, and forgive me if I get it slightly wrong, because I'm in my 40s now, and this advert was when I was a child. But it went something along the lines of, give a man a fish and he will feed his family for a day. Give a man a net and he will feed his family for a lifetime. And the point was, this charity, this Making Life Better for Africans charity, was basically saying, we need to go to Africa and we need to give these people nets. We need to go out there. We need to give them fishing nets. We need to teach them how to fish. We need to teach them how to be sustainable. And then they will feed themselves. And with our money, these people will be self-sufficient. But if we just keep giving them a fish a day, they'll never be self-sufficient.
So and the minute work? We start...
Sorry?
So how'd that all work out?
Well, this never really happened. That never really came off. This whole teaching Africa how to fish... And we'll say that as kind of like a coverall for teaching them to be self-dependent. Africa was never taught how to fish, and they've never been self-dependent. They've never been self-sufficient. But what we're having here in America is very similar. We've got a group of people here who are saying that the black community are to be given a fish per day. These checks being given out in Oakland, they're not being given out to actually help the black people fish. They're just giving each black person a big fat fish, which will last him or her a set amount of time, at which point they'll be hungry again. And the other thing about setting a precedent that we're giving free money out is once people become addicted to free money, once people become habituated to taking free money and get used to it, they want more. And I believe that this is being given out as some kind of reparations, as something to pay back blacks for all the terrible conditions they've had to live under.
It's for anybody who's not white. That's the thing. This isn't specifically aimed at blacks. It's just at non-whites. Now, Oakland, who are we talking about? It's people below the average income, so not necessarily even impoverished, but below the average income, who are not white. And so there are going to be some Asians, there are going to be some Hispanics.
Yeah, I've got to stop you there, though. But it's not just below the average income, is it? That's the other sort of nonsense with this. When we say below the average income, what we're actually talking about here, Patrick, is below $59,000 a year. Now, that's a lot of money. I should imagine $59,000 a year is when you take people like George Soros and Bill Gates into the average. But this isn't actually what's called a working average income. Because I should imagine the vast majority of non-whites or non-Europeans in Oakland do earn less than $59,000 a year per person.
It's hard to say exactly for Oakland. The San Francisco Bay Area has notoriously high prices. On the other side of the San Francisco Bay, trash collectors earn six figures working for the government.
I didn't know that. So I might be wrong on that. It just seemed a very high sum.
I'm not that familiar. But at any rate, yeah. To what extent is this to humiliate and demoralize whites?
Oh, to a huge extent. It's to a huge extent. And it's creating huge problems. As I said, it sets this precedent. It also is not actually helping anyone get themselves out of poverty. It's basically giving them a fish rather than a net. And over time, I think this will cause huge, huge problems. And ultimately, when this stimulus money doesn't improve people's lives, when these checks don't make these ethnic minority farms the best farms in the known world and that outproduce all the white farms, when all of this fails, who's going to get the blame? Well, the system aren't going to get the blame. People within the system aren't going to say, well, actually, you know what, we've really made a mess of this. This was a bad idea. Let's apologize and walk it back. We know who's going to get the blame. White people, or whiteness, or the white community, or colonial powers. That's who will get the blame, because that's who always gets the blame. So what we've got here is a mistelling of history, a really stupid plan that doesn't solve any problems, and then when the plan backfires, the blame is shifted onto people who had nothing to do with the plan and shouldn't take any of the blame in the first place. But it all builds in to this incredible anti-white narrative. And as I said, 20 years ago, I was saying to people, whites are becoming second-class citizens. And for a large part, that was seen as hyperbole. And people would sort of agree to a certain degree, but they never actually thought something like this would happen. But now I don't say white people are becoming second-class citizens. I say white people are already second-class citizens,
right,
and white people are becoming a hated minority.
Well, that's exactly correct. So now we've got to get look at how we make people understand this, make them understand it in time, and make them react in a rational way, because, of course, how are people being what are they being told on Fox News? They're being told on Fox News, including by Tucker Carlson, that whites were evil with the KKK and Jim Crow, and this is just kind of a new Jim Crow, but we were evil, and let's go have a war with China. But at any rate, we'll be right back after this important commercial message.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Are back. So, Mark, one of our RBN hosts, well, okay, first of all, I just want to say Mark Twain has a famous quote. I like to quote it. It's easier to fool people than convince them they've been fooled. Now, people have been fooled like crazy. I was just visiting a friend of mine, somebody I grew up with, who, you know, we went to the same junior high school. And he was going on this normie stuff about, well, you know, blacks, okay, they're in poverty or no, they commit crime. Yeah, sure, they commit more crime than whites, but what choice do they have? Because, you know, they've been oppressed and we've had our privilege, and, you know, it's going on all of this stuff. And I said, look, we went to the same junior high school. You know that the blacks there, they were in the same classroom. They had the same educational opportunities we did. That they were aggressive. You know, they were much more likely to be aggressive, not follow rules. You know, so why don't you, rather than being accepting this brainwashing from society, why don't you just rely on your own life experiences, getting pushed around, getting your lunch money robbed, getting your bike stolen? Why don't you just rely on that? And so we've got these people who have been fooled, and they've been fooled for a long, long time. And then we had an RBN host, the guy who has the show before mine, Richard Carey, and he said something just kind of off the top of his head, but in response to something, an assertion somebody, one of his guests made, that would be harder to prove than a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. He said, it's hard enough for us to convince people of things we've got all the evidence for, right? So here we are, and we've got to wake up our people. Our people have been fooled forever. And so there's kind of a strategic thing. So on the one hand, you know, where do we strike the blows, right? Where do we strike the blows? Where do we concentrate on? And then B, don't we have to avoid throwing like everybody who lived before the 1965 Immigration Act or the Civil Rights Act under the bus by saying, yeah, we were evil. Jim Crow was evil. No, what's the strategy? Because you're good at strategy.
Well, importantly, we have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. But we have to pick truths that we can prove. That's the first thing. If you can't prove something, or if something is largely based on conjecture, or you need to make several mental leaps to get there, I don't think it's particularly worth pushing. And truths are also more important and more saleable if they are backed by some kind of emotional oomph. So I think when we talk about things we're talking about today, these things obviously are backed up with truth. So it's easy to sell them. These things are covered in the mainstream press. They are absolute, undeniable truths. They're in government reports. You can look up the facts. You can show people. As I said, they're actually covered by the mainstream media. They're covered in the enemy press. So it's very easy to prove them. But also, they are things that have an emotional power too. So if you speak to a white person and say, well, this guy here is getting all of this and you're getting nothing, and it's because apparently your ancestors did something terrible, but the person who's getting the payout was never victimized, and the person who's paying for the payout, well, he never victimized anyone. So basically, we've got a system where people are suffering for the sins of the father or alleged sins of the father, and people are benefiting for the alleged sins that their father suffered. Now, once you put that to people, there is a certain something inside everyone which dislikes unfairness. And there's also a certain something in most people that don't like the idea of them getting a raw deal. Most people don't like the idea that they are getting a raw deal, that they're missing out. So, for example, if you and I both walked into a pizza restaurant tonight, and you sat at one table with your family and I sat at one table with my family, and the owner of the restaurant came over and said, hello, Mr. Collett, would you and your family like some complimentary garlic bread and drinks? So, you know, we get a load of sodas and garlic bread brought to the table for free. And then they came over to your table and said, Mr. Slattery, could I interest you in buying some drinks and garlic bread? You'd be like, hey, I'm not sure if I want to eat here. You're giving free garlic bread and drinks to some customers, but for some reason, I'm not getting them. Why is that? And there's this feeling of unfairness. And that would probably cause you to leave the restaurant. You and your family say, well, we're not coming here to be treated less than the Colletts. This is ridiculous. And off you go. And that is generally how people act. People like a sense of fairness. And if people feel that they are being treated unfairly, especially when free things are being given out, they get very angry. So I think the tactics have to be to push things that can be absolutely proven as true and that have a certain emotional impact, so that our people realize they are disenfranchised, that they are getting a raw deal, that they're getting less than they deserve, that they are being treated, as we said, as second-class citizens or a hated minority, because that has massive emotional impact for normal people. I think where we need to steer away from is fanciful theories that can't really be proven and don't have an emotional impact.
Okay, well, let's take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we are back. And Mark, so right before the break, you said we have to stay away from claims that we can't prove. So we have to pick and choose what we're going to push against. Now, here's my question. All right. So when I was starting the show, I was talking about trying to explain what's going on to a foreign friend of mine, and talking about, you know, to me, the only way you can make sense of this is, you know, we've got our elite that is attacking us. Well, why is the elite attacking us? I don't know how you can really make sense of it by without bringing in the Jewish nature. So we've got this issue of Jewish domination of society, and actually, you know, you can certainly, even though like domination of society, it's hard to prove that in 30 seconds, but you can certainly point to this important industry or that important, you know, the cabinet, the heads of the major media companies, the heads of academic institutions. There's certainly some low-hanging fruit where you can actually name names, but given how programmed people are, you got people like Tucker Carlson or whomever who are trying to tell people that, yeah, we're hated by our elite. Why? Right? And maybe then it all has to become corporate profits, or it has to be that they're all working for China, or it has to be something else. Is what what is the danger or the benefit or danger of not talking about Jewish power?
Well, I think I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again now. The issue with talking about Jewish power, or the danger of talking about Jewish power, is the following. It's not talking about it, it's when you talk about it. Now, I've drawn this analogy before. I drew this analogy in a speech I gave at the Second Patriotic Alternative Conference. And was it at that conference or was it a different one? I can't remember, but I've said this in a speech before. And I'll say it now. Have you ever played computer games, Patrick?
I have a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you start off playing a computer game, like an adventure game, it eases you in. You walk into a screen, you get given a sword and a shield, a wooden sword and a wooden shield. You set off on your adventure.
Or a very basic Pokemon in my case.
Or a very basic Pokemon in your case. And the first screen of enemies you come to are very weak, they're very slow, they have a very simple pattern that you can instantly identify, so they're not jumping all over you and you're destroying you. And your three hearts of health, your wooden sword and your wooden shield are more than enough to deal with that task. And you deal with that task and you move on. Now, when you get to the end of the game, you fight the end of game boss, you fight the big boss, the final baddie. Now, he is a lot tougher to defeat, but by this time you've put dozens and dozens of hours in, you've got a better sword, a better shield, you've got far more energy or health or hearts, you've got magic, you've got a special tunic that deflects the enemy's blows so that you don't die as easily, and you're ready for it. You take on the final boss, it's a challenge, but it's a challenge you relish. You defeat him and you've beaten the game. Now, imagine if you went into a game and it gave you your wooden sword, your wooden shield, your three hearts, and in that first screen, you had to face the final boss. Well, you'd get absolutely obliterated. And what's more, you wouldn't be playing the game for 20, 30, 40 hours. You'd just give up because it'd just be too difficult, too frustrating. It wouldn't be fun, and that would be it. Now, the JQ is like the final boss. It's the final step in people's red-pilling process. People get involved with us not because of the JQ, but they get involved with us because of problems, and the more they investigate those problems, often leads them on a path to discussing issues of Zionist power, who controls the media, who controls the banking sector, well, who's pushing this pornography, who was behind this particular immigration act, oh, which group of people is always pushing for more immigration into Europe. And you go down that route and you start noticing things. But you must always approach normies, people out on the street, people who are just curious about our issues, with challenges they can overcome. So if I was designing a leaflet today for consumption in America, to go out door to door in America, it would be about these checks and these grants to non-white farmers. It would be about that because normal people would identify it. It's an entry-level argument. Now, a certain proportion of those people would never get to understanding the JQ. A certain proportion of people never get that far into the game. But some people will. Those leaflets would start some people on a journey which would result in them getting to that final boss and mastering every bit of what we stand for. They would master all the knowledge we threw at them, and they would have a greater understanding or a complete understanding of the world around them. But not everyone gets there. But I think what is the big problem in our movement is sometimes we try to take things that are backed in truth, and we try to take things that are absolutely truthful, absolutely provable, to people who aren't ready for it. But unfortunately, those issues don't have the emotional punch that other issues do as well. So you're on to a bit of a loser there. So if I was designing a leaflet for the American public, it would be about this anti-white establishment, how whites were being discriminated against, and how ultimately white people weren't being given a fair crack of a whip. How they were, for want of a better word, second-class citizens, and how this was unfair, and how this was ultimately disenfranchising them. Because as I said, it's true, it's completely provable, it's backed up by numerous sources. It's entry-level stuff, and it has that emotional impact we talked earlier. And if you go straight in with the JQ without people having any other knowledge of what's going on around them, it doesn't work. It's taking people to the final boss. It's too difficult. It's over their head. And even though it can be provable with facts and truths, it also isn't one of those emotional motivators like the other things we spoke of earlier. It's a, you know, it's something that is more of an academic point. So I think the message we have to understand is we need to produce two types of entertainment, propaganda. We need to try to produce two types of information. One type of information is for people that we are bringing on board. It's for people who are playing the game for the first time, people who haven't played the game before, who it's this material is their introduction to what we stand for. And then the other type of information that we produce is more educational. It's for people who are already on board, people who have already got past that first stage and are like, yes, I agree with you, and I agree with you enough to want to be on board and to actually learn about why these things are happening. And you can't mix up those two types of propaganda, just as it would be pointless for me to start talking to the initiated about basic issues such as why immigration is bad. If I gave a 10-hour talk to fully initiated people on why immigration is bad, they'd be bored because they already know that. And equally, if I tried to give a 10-hour talk on why Jews have disproportionate power in the West and how that impacts us in a negative way, if I was giving that speech to people who weren't already on board, they'd be a little bit confused and it would be over their heads. And I think not only do things have to be truthful, provable, and have some kind of emotional impact, the right propaganda has to be aimed at the right people at the right time. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a situation where, unfortunately, you confuse a good deal of your prospective members or supporters.
So, if I'm understanding this, if you get people who are just oblivious to what's going on, and of course fewer and fewer people are oblivious to the fact that something's going on than say 5 years ago, but because it's so obvious now. But so stage one of that video game, stage one, you're basically just trying to let people understand that there is a problem, you know, that there is a problem. In this case, I mean, that whites are under attack, that maybe before it would be that immigration levels are actually at replacement levels, that we will become a minority. But here, you know, that whites are under attack. Okay, so you've got the problem identification. But once you've identified a problem, then and people understand there's a problem, then the next thing is like, why, right? Who's doing this? And I suppose, you know, there are people who will say that it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about money. This is a money thing, which is not the worst narrative. You can get somewhere with it.
It's not all about the money.
But it's not all about the money.
It's not all about. In fact, I'm really happy you brought this up.
A danger that we're having right now is everything getting pointed to China, which because we really could be at war with China. I'm not saying that we necessarily will, but you're seeing things deteriorate, and you were seeing a few years ago things deteriorate with Russia to very dangerous levels. But anyway, it's not all about the money. So what would you say?
Well, it's interesting you brought this up, because I did a book review last night. You often ask me before we start the show, we have a chat about what I did at the weekend. Well, some weekends we do a gaming stream, sometimes we do a film review, sometimes we do a book review. We did another live stream on the progress of Patriotic Alternative. We tend to do something on a Sunday night that's a bit more lighthearted. And that was this week a book review. Now, the book was called American Extremist by a very talented guy called Josh Neal. And in that book, Josh talks about how we have, how all societies are underpinned by certain myths and narratives. And those myths and narratives are what shape the way people in that society think about the world. Now, this was very, very interesting, because when he talks about these myths and these narratives, he says the modern narrative or the modern myth that underpins a lot of Western society is that society is constantly at threat from extremists or from extremism. And he says that the people who weave this myth, who are responsible for seeding this myth into our minds, who are responsible for getting this myth into our heads, are actually, for the large part, people who work in the media, journalists. But he points out that much of this journalism isn't well remunerated. It's not, these people in these industries aren't being paid huge amounts of money. These journalists aren't getting millions of clicks. You can go on to these news aggregator sites or these news websites where people have got profiles and they're on some kind of pay-per-click scheme. How many clicks their article gets determines how much they are paid, and they're getting virtually no clicks. Yet these articles are being pushed out at an incredible rate, a ridiculous rate. So you've got these articles literally flying out the door, and they're all written by these people who have an ideological slant, and it's not being done for monetary gain. This is being done because many of these people who are writing these articles are in fact not interested in making money. They're interested in promoting what to them is almost like a religious system of beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when people start asking, you know, why is the government putting in anti-white policies? At that point, what do we do? Is when people start saying, okay, I see these problems, why is it happening? And there's probably not a one size fits all answer to this, but is this where we start talking about Jewish power, or what are we talking about?
I'm not sure whether that's the point. For me, if people ask why, I answer why. If people ask who, I answer who. Now, if somebody asks me why people are doing that to us, I answer quite simply that a homogenous European community is the strongest type of community. And homogenous European communities are the only communities that have ever had a chance of standing up against the globalist cultural Marxist power structure. We're the only ones. And that is true throughout history. So what they're essentially doing is breaking our people down so there can never be a fight back against this, so there can never be an organized community response to what they're doing to us. And I think that answer is not only quite brutally honest, but it's also succinct. It's very, very to the point. I don't really think you can argue with what I've just said. I think that's 100% correct. That's very provable, and it answers that. Now, if people said, who's behind this,
You did say something about global Marxist. I think you used the term Marxist in there. That's the only bone I would have to pick.
Well, I think these people are Marxists. I know that you say they're global capitalists, but they are cultural Marxists.
I think this
Marxists.
Is something new. There's a limit to how much, a reading of Marx would really inform you about what's going on today.
You might say that, but a lot of what is being done is done because of equality, because of this idea that we need absolute equality. And equality is a Marxist ideal. And the people at the very top, you and I know, don't want equality. The people at the very top do not want equality. They're not doing this to create a world where we all
dance around together singing Kumbaya. You know that, I know that. That's not some massive revelation, and it won't be a massive revelation for people on this show. But the people I talked of earlier, the people that I discussed last night with Josh Neal, these journalists, these bug men and strange pink-haired feminists that go back to their pod at the end of the day and eat the bug soup, they are people who are primarily motivated by this idea, these Marxist ideals, and this idea of equality.
Okay, well, we are up on the last break. We will wrap this up on the other side.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back. So, Mark, we have a few minutes left, and you've been getting out a lot of points. Would you like to wrap it up? Pull your thoughts together, and then we'll talk about what's up for this week.
Yeah, and I do totally. You know, I've got a lot of respect for you, Patrick, and I do really enjoy working with you. So I don't want to argue with you over the Marxist thing, but I will also say this in favor of the it's the Marxists. Everything being pushed by these big companies is very much Marxist in its outlook. And the people in these big companies are definitely handpicked and motivated by much of this theory that's come from the Frankfurt School. The only difference between Marxism then and Marxism now is the Marxists' route to power in the past was by creating class discord. But class is something that doesn't exist today in the West in the way it used to exist in the West. And because of this, Marxists no longer seek class warfare because it isn't viable. Because I said class doesn't exist in the same way it used to. What does exist, however, is racial and ethnic divides. And those racial and ethnic divides are very real. They do exist. And the same people who used to push for class divide when it no longer worked pushed for mass immigration so then they could exploit racial divide. And that is how today they are doing so much of this damage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Marx had what he wrote back in the 19th century. And then there's been 150 years of various disciples of Marx, maybe self-described disciples of Marx, who have said all sorts of things, very contradictory to each other, and pretty much like covered the board with what they say. And of course, there's massive arguments between them. And then you got people like, well, Bill Gates or all sorts of people. And Bill Gates is pushing something. And I don't think Bill Gates is actually any kind of self-described or self-conscious Marxist. The thing I worry about, I wouldn't even care that much about this, except that I do see this big push in this country for blaming everything on China. And when you say, well, this is all socialism, it's all communism, and the ruling party of China has the name communist. They are called the Communist Party, even though many people could look at them and say, actually, that's much more national socialism than communism. It might have started about Marxist, but after going through Deng Xiaoping, it's really been transformed to something very, very different. But at any rate, the Chinese aren't the people who are implementing all of these policies. It is the Jews who are implementing the policies here. So I think it kind of confuses things. But at any rate, what's on your agenda for this week?
On my agenda for this week, I have a big, big show on Wednesday. Big show. And it is myself, Laura Towler, and Warren Blau and Emily Ukis. So the four of us are doing a PWR special for episode number 99. So I am very much looking forward to that. Jason's having the night off. And we obviously, the week after, have our big show 100, which I'll be plugging here massively the week before, because including you, we have around 20-odd guests that night, so it should be a really good show.
That's going to be a really, really big show. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.